Chrysler vehicles were among the shiny new cars on display at the Washington Auto Show here in Washington, D.C. President Obama dropped by the show yesterday, presumably in hopes that some of that shine will rub off on him. NPR's Scott Horsley reports.
President Obama took the wheel of a Dodge muscle car he wishes he'd had in high school, admired the headroom of a Chevy Malibu, and gushed over Ford's new plug-in hybrid that can go 20 miles before it needs a drop of gasoline.
If you live in the city, you never have to fill up with this right here.
Mr. Obama is hoping to get some political mileage this November in states like Michigan and Ohio from his controversial rescue of the auto industry. While many Republicans, including Mitt Romney, were skeptical at the time, the president notes U.S. carmakers are now profitable and hiring again.
It's good to remember that the fact that there were some folks who were willing to let this industry die because of folks coming together. We are now back in a place where we can compete with any car company in the world.
Some Midwestern lawmakers are warning, though, the auto parts business is still in danger. Michigan Senator Debbie Stabenow blames unfair competition from parts makers in China.
The bully on the block continues to take our lunch money, and it's time to stop that. You want to compete with us? Come on, we're happy to have the competition, but it's got to be fair.
Stabenow and other Midwestern Democrats are urging the White House to get tougher with China, as Mr. Obama promised in last week's State of the Union address. Scott Horsley, NPR News, the White House.
The recession has been over officially since 2009, not that you can tell in many places in America. The effects of the downturn have been particularly cruel in Nevada.
That's right. The state has the nation's highest unemployment rate and highest foreclosure rate. And to say the least, all of this has made the state's budget situation difficult.
As we continue our look at state finances, NPR's Carrie Kahn tells us about Nevada's hopes of broadening its tax base beyond the mainstays of tourism and gambling.
It's noon on the Las Vegas Strip, and the barker outside O'Shea's Casino is hard at work.
24-hour happy hour, 24-hour $5 blackjack.
Dressed in a lime green tuxedo, he's doing his best to get the tourists to come on in.
24-hour beer pong action going on right here today inside O'Shea's.
Nearly 39 million visitors came to the city last year, the second highest number in Vegas history. The problem is those tourists don't have as much money as they used to. Janina Jackson says she's noticed that.
10 years ago, it was, well, people dressed up a little more. I see a lot of jeans and flip-flops.
She stopped me on the strip in front of the huge fountains at Caesar's Palace to take a picture of her and her friend Melissa. They're in from Atlanta. It's Melissa's birthday.
The casinos are not as crowded. You get to any table. Before, 10 years ago, you couldn't get to a table.
The city had a great ride since Jackson was last in Vegas. For most of the past decade, Southern Nevada was the fastest-growing region in the nation. Mo Dennis, a Democratic state senator, says in the city they were opening a new school every 20 days.
We built 18 high schools, 33 middle schools, 60-something elementary schools in an 8-year period.
Dennis says the bust has been equally dramatic. Unemployment hovers around 13%, and nearly half of all the homes sold in the state are in foreclosure. That's had a huge impact on the state's budget. Legislators had to close a multi-million-dollar deficit last year. To do it, they left in place some old tax hikes and also made big cuts to education, prisons, and health care. David DeMore, a political scientist at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, says the budget battle got people to start looking for new revenues beyond gaming and tourism.
So you're starting to get people to realize that, okay, well, maybe we need to start thinking about this here. And, you know, that's revolutionary thinking here.
One place eyes are turning, the state's lucrative mining industry. Nevada extracts nearly 80% of all the gold mined in the United States, yet those companies pay lower taxes than casinos and hotels. Tax rates the industry wants to protect.
Look who benefits from Nevada mining. Because mining creates more than 50,000 jobs.
It recently launched a PR campaign touting its contributions to the state.
In good times and hard times, mining is working for Nevada families, working for you.
Steve Hill, the governor's new economic development head, says taxing a specific industry that's booming is easy. But what happens when it too hits a lull?
You're probably setting up the possibility that down the road, that industry's not doing so well, and what you thought was a stable revenue stream is not anymore.
Hill says the state needs to move now to attract new industries, high-tech, specialized manufacturing, and healthcare.
There is a sense of urgency right now that you can't duplicate when times are good.
But Nevada's legislature only meets once every other year, and this is an off year. So instead of new initiatives, the state is set to take out a $160 million loan to get through the year. Carrie Kahn, NPR News.